Welcome to the Bile Hour. I'm your host, Mike Gunn. This week, we've got writer and speaker Sarah Schwartz with us, and we discuss gender, especially as it plays out in a Christian context. The first part is my interview with her, and the second part is where we take questions from our live student audience. I think you'll appreciate the wisdom and the nuance she brings to this conversation. I hope you enjoy. Everyone, please help me welcome Sarah Schwartz.
Thank you. Thank you. It's so great to be here this morning.
All right. Well, Sarah, you know, I think there's this idea and this stereotype of the good Christian girl. Mm. And I think if we were to all approximate it in this room, I think we all have some sort of idea of it. What is that picture? And is that a helpful picture?
Sure. Well, when I think of a picture, the idea that I have of a good Christian girl, I have to acknowledge that I grew up in a predominantly white evangelical space.
Yeah.
So the norms of that culture mm-hmm. are going to be reflected in what I think of. But when I think of what is that good girl, I think of someone who doesn't take up a lot of space. She's never too much of anything.
Yeah.
Too strong or too loud or too opinionated.
Mm.
She's never threatening to anyone. She's good at being she's a really good supporting character in someone else's story.
Yeah.
And I think she's also mildly insecure, because when I see events that are targeted to Christian women or designed for Christian women, they tend to exclusively be about two topics, right?
Mm-hmm.
About talking about how that woman is loved and how she's beautiful, which are both true and good things,
right.
But we tend to limit her to those conversations, because
yeah.
I don't often see events for Christian women. Let's gather and talk about politics or theology or
yeah.
STEM. We're about reminding her that she's pretty, that she's loved, and that she should be nice.
Right. So, you know, Sarah, you're a founding member of GRIT, our Women's Resource Collective.
Yes.
Okay? And you've been involved in the gender conversation on this campus, but also just in general. What made you be involved in that, and why did you want to be part of that?
Sure. Well, I think a lot of it has to do with how I was raised. Growing up, my family, we didn't talk about gender or gender stereotypes, but I had a very unconventional mother.
Yeah.
When I was little, my mom was a competitive mountain biker. And then when I was in high school, she got a black belt in karate.
Whoa.
And probably at this moment, she's driving a piece of farm equipment, which was my father's gift to her for Christmas. And so I saw in her that there was nothing wrong with women being strong or brave or a little untraditional.
Mm.
And I think equally important to that, I had a dad who was never threatened by my mom being who she was.
Yeah.
Her being loud and funny, I always joke that she's like a 14-year-old boy. he was never made to feel, he was never insecure about his own manhood or his role as a husband and a father.
Yeah.
But he delighted in who she was, and they helped each other become more of themselves.
Yeah.
And then as I grew older, I certainly did not inherit the athletic ability or the desire to be a farmer, but I didn't think there was anything unladylike about me being ambitious or a leader.
That's right.
But as I grew older, I started receiving conflicting messages about what was expected of me as a Christian woman, which drove me to Scripture.
Yeah.
And I really came to find that Scripture is radical in the way that it dignifies women.
Yeah.
From Eve being described in Genesis as fully bearing the image of God, to Jesus in the Gospels entrusting Mary with the news of the resurrection, which
yeah.
in context, Mary wouldn't have been able to testify in a court of law, yet Jesus entrusts her with
yeah.
the greatest news of all time.
Yeah.
To Paul, a former Pharisee, who Pharisees wouldn't be caught acknowledging a woman's presence in public, yet Paul writes of women as co-laborers in the gospel.
That's right.
So I came to conclude that the gospel is good news for women.
Awesome, awesome. You know, I'm going to say the F word. Okay, in Christian circles.
Okay, plug your ears.
And the F word is feminism.
Okay? Ooh.
And I'm going to... Sorry about that. I was going for
warned.
The shock, and thanks for
you
that.
You were warned.
Yeah. and that word means a lot of different things, okay? And I know that it can actually be a helpful word in Christian circles. Help us see that how that word can be a helpful word for us.
Sure. Well, I totally resonate with the knee-jerk reaction of
yeah.
being like, feminism. I can remember when I first started being interested in women's issues, I had a friend ask me, are you a feminist now? And I couldn't say no quickly enough. But that's because I didn't understand what it meant.
Yeah.
So actually, feminism is like Christianity in a lot of ways, in that within Christianity, we have all these different denominations. We have all these different beliefs and practices and expressions of our faith, some that contradict each other. But at the end of the day, we all hold to these core truths of who Jesus is and what that means for us.
Yeah.
And so feminism is the same way. There's a diversity of expressions and beliefs, but the core truth, the animating belief is that women are human beings.
Yeah.
And they deserve to be treated with the same dignity and respect as men. That's it. And usually a lot of Christians get tripped up because they think that to be a feminist, you have to support abortion, which as a people who deeply hold to the sanctity of life, obviously that's not something we support. But pro-life feminism is absolutely a thing.
Yeah.
And it's, I think back to that core belief that women should be treated with dignity and respect. That's yeah. deeply Christian, right? Yeah. Scripture tells us that God's heartbeat is for his people to stand in solidarity with the vulnerable and yeah. the marginalized.
Yeah.
And throughout the history of the world, women are overrepresented in those categories.
Yeah, I love that. I love the nuance you just put into that, right? It's not, feminism isn't just this black and white issue.
Right.
There's a lot of nuance and there's a lot of things that we can unpack in there.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that. You know, the gender conversation has come a long way, okay? And what are some of the things that we can be, what are some of the things that we can celebrate? And what are some of the things that need a little bit more attention?
Sure. So when I think about things to celebrate, a lot of these successes, I think it's important to put in context just how close we are to them in history, right? So a woman's right to vote in the United States is less than 100 years old.
Yeah.
So I think my great-grandmother, who was alive when I was born, couldn't vote in a federal election until she was 24.
Wow.
My own grandmother, who is alive and well, couldn't have a credit card in her name until the late 1970s.
Mm.
It was also in the 1970s that domestic violence became a crime, right? That's not that long ago. There was no such thing as a domestic violence shelter or hotline.
Yeah.
So those are things to celebrate, but it's also things to realize, like, wow, it is not that long ago.
I was born in the 70s.
Yeah, right.
So not that long ago at all.
Yeah. So those are things to celebrate. And I think also the recent conversations with Me Too and Time's Up, we are really having a national important conversation about sexual abuse and harassment.
Yeah.
But things that I think we need to focus on as we move forward is we need to center the voices and experiences of women of color.
Mm-hmm.
Because too often when we talk about women's issues, and I'm guilty of this myself, what we really mean is white women's issues.
Mm-hmm.
And we have not acknowledged or given the microphone to women who their intersection of being a race or ethnicity that experiences
yeah.
oppression, and then also on top of that, being a woman.
Yeah.
So in the words of the prophet Kendrick Lamar, white women, we need to sit down, be humble, and follow the lead of women of color.
I love it. I love it. Great. Yeah, you know, I have this idea, you know, the kingdom of God, it's like women, men, people of all different ethnicities. What do we miss if we silence women's voices? The kingdom of God has so much color,
yeah.
right? What do we miss if we don't hear women well?
Well, I think that diversity is God's gift to us, right? It's
yeah.
not a box to check on learning outcomes on our course evaluations. Diversity is intentional, race, class, gender. And so when we either silence, deny, or deprive women of places of influence, we are actually the ones who are missing out. Women are unique in the way that they bear the image of God.
Yeah.
And so when they're silenced or when they're told that they have to be a certain way, we miss out on their gifts. We miss out on their unique understanding of who God is. We miss out on the ways that they can serve a needy and waiting world. So when we think about it, just not as, okay, this is politically correct and we need to include X, Y, and Z. No, actually, we are helping ourselves see, understand, and serve God better.
Yeah, I love that. It's not just about political correctness. It's right. actually living out the kingdom of God a
Absolutely.
Little bit more clearly. All right. So we're going to answer a few questions.
Right.
All right. So thank you for all the questions that you guys texted or tweeted in. Here's our first question, Sarah. How can we redeem the word feminism from people who identify it with a liberal agenda or a political term?
Well, I think what we talked about earlier in defining terms, right? In now when people approach me and say, what are you, some sort of feminist or something?
Yeah.
I ask them, well, what do you think that means?
Right.
I think of one of my favorite authors, Sarah Bessie, says something like along the lines of, the gospel is enough. Mm. The gospel is enough to meet every need and right every wrong. But until being a Christian is synonymous with doing something about violence against women, about women being equally represented in the boardroom, in governments, in churches, and organizations, until the gospel, or until being a Christian is associated with not tolerating or standing for sexual violence or abuse, you can also then call me a feminist.
Yeah, great, great. Okay, well, here's another question for us, okay? What are some tangible ways that Biola can continue the gender conversation?
Well, shameless plug. if you're not familiar with GRIT, you should be. GRIT is our first women's resource collective at Biola. Yeah. We are a blog that we seek to create and curate content to help inspire and encourage our female students and our male students, because we're all in this together. I'm unintentional High School Musical. didn't mean it. I heard it as it came out of my mouth. I'm like, there that is. But GRIT exists to inspire and encourage, and we are always trying to come up with new ways, new events, and creation of new resources to help women find their gifts and identify their callings and live more fully into those things.
Yeah, and I just want to say, you know, it's a great space where you guys are always having a conversation, and that's what this needs, right?
Yes.
We just need to have the conversation,
yes.
And this is a great place to do that.
Absolutely.
Great. Okay, here's another question for us. How do you respond when people react to scripturally grounded beliefs with closing their ears?
You know, we're all in process, and I think that I just have to be aware of that, because there was a time in my life and my understanding of gender issues that I would have closed my ears to these conversations. So I just try to be aware of the fact that everyone is wrestling with their own identities and coming to terms with their own privileges or lack thereof. Yeah. And so all I can do is trust that the Holy Spirit does what the Holy Spirit is about.
Yeah.
And I can only do and be a small part of that, but God does the heavy lifting.
Yeah. That's the prophet, right? What's his name again? Kendrick?
Kendrick,
yeah,
yes.
The humility
yes.
part? Okay, cool. All right. Here's another one, okay? How can men contribute positively to this conversation? Mm-hmm. How can we help?
Well, wow. So I think part of my feminism is inspired by the really good men I have in my life.
Mm.
I think that feminism actually speaks to men being full human people the way that women are full human people, right? It doesn't buy into this rhetoric of, well, boys will be boys, which generally means, like, boys will be terrible, right? Like, I don't believe that. I have too many good men in my life to believe that. So I think men can listen. Like, that's the first step in everything, is listen to understand rather than listen to respond, right? So we have to engage in perspective taking. But then also men using your privilege, the spaces where your voice is heard or spaces where you're respected but women may not be, to use those spaces to advocate for women. Because, Mike, there's things that you can speak into and people who will listen to you that wouldn't listen to me.
Agreed.
And so to use your voice to advocate for women, that's what men can do.
Agreed. Okay. Thank you. Here's another question. Okay, can you tell us more about your process in coming to the biblical foundation you hold for your thoughts about women's place?
Yeah. So I read a lot. Actually, I have a couple of friends from college or who I went to Biola with who can attest to kind of this process we went through together. I read differing opinions, people who thought very different things about women, because it's important to me that I not just believe something because it's what I want to believe or what I want to be true, but that I examine scripture thoroughly. So I read everything I could get my hands on. I talked to anyone who would listen to me, and I also took Dr. Ron Pierce's Theology of Gender, which causes you to argue for and examine differing worldviews about gender.
Yeah.
And even now, right, none of us ever arrive.
Yeah.
We're all continually in process. But yeah, that's part of my journey.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you. Okay, here's another question. What are some practical ways to include women in societal conversations where they are generally excluded or even Christian conversations where they're generally excluded?
Sure. Well, I think of, okay, so I have to examine my spheres of influence. I have to examine the school I'm a part of, the place that I work, the church that I'm in. And I spend a lot of time looking at people's websites to look at who's on the board.
Yeah.
Who are the employees? Right. Are there women in places of influence? Right? And because all the data shows that organizations that are gender diverse are more profitable, they waste fewer resources,
yeah.
They're more successful than those who aren't, right? So you have to hand the microphone to women. If you're having a panel and there isn't a woman on it, or if there's a conference you're going to and there are no women speaking, write an email. Say, hey, why isn't this the case? Because your voice matters more than I think we think our voices do.
Yeah. Thanks for that. That's really practical.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Here's another question. Okay. What attitude or responses do you see on Biola's campus in regards to the creation and influence of GRIT?
We've had really an overwhelmingly positive response.
Good.
I've had students come up to me and to Lisa Egram, my fellow co-founder, and just say, GRIT was the thing I didn't know that I needed, which is like the most affirming thing that I can hear or that we can hear. So we've had really positive responses from staff and from faculty and alumni, and we're really hoping to channel that momentum to make it something that lasts.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. Here's another question. Soon, kind of. Oh, there we go. Okay. In a church that expects women to be good girls, how can I take steps to live out my full potential with still being respectful and a part of my church community? I love that question.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Well, I think that living into your full potential is never going to include you being not respectful. Right? Because we're all supposed to respect each other, to love one another, to submit to one another, right?
Yeah.
To lay down our lives for each other. But I think that the nuance there is that often strong women who disagree or who have a different opinion or who are leaders, they're seen as disrespectful
right.
just for being themselves. So I think it's important to catch the difference there.
That's good.
So that could be used as to silence you, right? That can be used to be like, I feel like you're being disrespectful.
Right.
Which if someone comes to you and says that, check yourself, right? Get wise counsel, examine your motives and your intentions. But I think also sometimes it will be seen that way when it's not. And
yeah.
that's when you need to lean into your community and be true to who God created you to be.
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, my daughter. I have a daughter. She's 7 years old now. And she was kind of like directing traffic. Like, not traffic, but she's kind of like telling people what to do. And people kept saying, why is she so bossy? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, she's just a leader. She's just leading everybody.
Right.
But there's these words that we genderize.
Sure.
And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. Let's look at that a little more carefully.
Absolutely. She's not bossy. She's the boss.
She...
It's different.
Thank you. Okay. Here's another question.
Yeah.
I have been told many times that I am too loud, too strong, too independent. It's come to the point where these strengths are becoming my insecurities. Mm. Can you speak about this?
That's weird. I can't relate to that at all.
I
can remember actually in the season where I was in SOS, I can remember a really dear guy friend of mine telling me that I probably would date more if I wasn't these things, right? Strong, loud, independent. And I can remember like not knowing how to take that. I can resonate with that. I can relate to that. I think the thing that has gotten me through and helped me lean into who I am is you need your community. You need people in your life who believe in you, who call out the best in you, who won't let you settle for being a shell of yourself.
Yeah.
So lean into prayer, into scripture, and find men and women to pour into your life who call out those things as strengths to combat the voice that wants to tell you that they're weaknesses.
Mm. Sarah, you're so good at this.
Oh, thank you.
isn't she so good at this? That's right. I want to learn from you all the time, okay? All right, here we go. Can you elaborate on some of the unique perspectives and gifts that women bring to the Christian conversation?
Hmm. Well, women's experience isn't a monolith, right? So it's not like all women have the same experiences, and so we're here to contribute this one thing.
Yeah.
Right? But I think of... I think of certain analogies and metaphors in scripture that God uses or even Jesus uses. Like in Isaiah, God describes himself like as a mother in labor. He gives us this picture to better understand his heart towards us. Yeah. And so women are going to be able to uniquely expand on that and explain to us what that's like. Mm. Or Jesus, when he says that, oh Jerusalem, that... He speaks of being a mother hen wanting to gather them under his feathers, right? So there's this use of female imagery that women have a unique ability to speak into and expand on.
Yeah.
And again, it comes back to that diversity thing being a gift, right? So women are not a monolith, but they are a distinct and unique voice that needs to be in our conversations.
Great. Okay. Here's another question. What is grit? And how can those who are interested having these conversations about gender equality get involved?
Sure. So GRIT is an online women's resource collective. We're a blog, essentially. And GRIT stands for Gifting, Resilience, Insight, and Tenacity. And essentially, GRIT was launched because some data came out of the Council of Christian Colleges and Universities that showed that... women rate their academic and leadership abilities lower than their male peers, even though they're performing at the same level. And actually, the larger data shows that our female undergraduates are coming to us as new students more confident in themselves than when they leave.
Whoa.
So women are graduating and are thinking of their abilities, are not evaluating their abilities as high as when they come to us as new students.
Yeah.
So we're like, what can we do about this, right? So GRIT exists to show female undergraduates pictures of who they can be or help them identify their strengths and gifts and help them live into those things. If you want to get involved, first, follow us on social media. We have a Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, so you can see what we're up to and events that we're holding. Then also you can email us at grit@biola.edu. We're working on something right now where you can submit your own pieces. So that, keeping an eye out for that.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. Thank you. Here's another question, and it is, okay, why is it that purity is a topic that seems to be emphasized, especially to women, and seemingly not so much as to men? How can we fix this mixed message? All of us as followers of Christ should pursue purity.
Mm. Not to be weird and self-promotional, but I talked about this in After Dark one time. I don't mean to just, because it's hard to answer in a couple of minutes, but it is on Biola's YouTube. It's called Deeper Conversations on Purity. I think that a lot of this comes from a cultural stereotype where men are considered sexual beings and women are not. And so with men, we just say like, well... You know,
boys will be boys.
Right. It's really actually disrespectful to men because we're like, you're not a human with the fruit of the spirit, one of which is self-control.
Right.
So we dehumanize men by saying that they're nothing but sex-crazed animals. And then we say that women don't have sexual desires at all. So there is, we speak to men and women about purity differently. And I actually have an issue with the word purity because it implies something that... can't be undone, which I don't think is the case. You are not a stick of gum or a lollipop or whatever, all those creepy metaphors we were given in youth group. You are a human being made in the image of God, and should you sin, should you mess up, there is grace for that. It is not this kind of sin that everything else can be redeemed and restored, but this thing... You're broken. You're dirty. I think we need to challenge that entire narrative, and I think we all need to pursue holiness. We all need to pursue respecting ourselves and respecting others, but I think we need to really rework the tale we've been telling people about sex.
Good, good. Thank you for saying that. Okay, here's another question, okay? What steps should a college-age woman take now to be able to intelligently and biblically contribute to this conversation in the future?
I mean, I kind of went to seminary for that reason. So I know that because I'm a woman, when I contribute to these conversations, some people are going to dismiss me because they're just going to think, well, she's a woman, so of course she thinks that, right? So unfortunately, I mean, it's the reality, I have to be that much more educated. I have to be that much more well-spoken. I have to understand these things better to be taken at seriously.
Right.
Wish it wasn't the case, but you know, we'll talk in 10 years, see how things are going. It's important to be well-read, well-educated, and to be able to speak to these things.
Yeah. All right. Well, Sarah, you know, we ask one last question to all of our guests, and that is, what is some of the biblical principles that helped develop your thoughts today?
Sure. Well, I think Jesus sums it up nicely when he says that all of the law and all of the prophets hang on the command to love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
And Scripture's heartbeat from Genesis to Revelation is God's presence with those on the margins and his desire for his people to be a people for advocate for those who are vulnerable. So my feminism, my desire to see God's redemptive women, God's redemptive movement for women arc towards justice flows out of my desire to be a disciple to Jesus, to love mercy, to do justly. So my faith informs my feminism and not the other way around.
Awesome. Hey, let's thank Sarah for being with us today. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, we would love it if you were to rate us on iTunes. And if you want to continue the conversation, follow us on social media.